Father, I just want to thank you tonight that you are in control of every aspect of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that in your wisdom and in your kindness, you guide and direct our lives in a course that sometimes only you know. Sometimes you let us know, but sometimes, Lord, you don't. And I just thank you, Lord, tonight that you really are the strength of my life. I want to thank you, Lord, tonight for the Word of God, for the presence of Holy Spirit, for the comfort of your Word. And I just thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ, for the literally thousands of prayers that have been offered up for my daughter over the last 4 years and for our family. I am so grateful. I'm so thankful, Lord, to know you. I'm so thankful that our times are in your hands and that our future is absolutely certain and secure. In Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to share with you this evening, just briefly, one of the great spiritual secrets of my own personal life and the life, really, of thousands of other men and women down through the ages who have walked with God and who've discovered an extraordinary resource and if you will, wellspring of strength and encouragement and confidence in life. And I want to explain to you tonight where that comes from and how that becomes operational in our lives. And I want to ask you a couple questions tonight. If you put your hand in a fire, what happens? Anybody? It burns. If you put your unprotected hand in a fire, it's going to get burned. Now, the severity of the burn will depend on how long you leave it in the fire. Of course, if you just do this, well, if you stick it in there, leave it there, it's going to get burned. What happens if you stick your hand in water? It gets wet. Now, are you sure? Does it happen every time? Every time you stick your hand in the water, a normal hand without a rubber glove on it, it gets wet. If you stick it in with a rubber glove, the rubber glove gets wet. But every single time, your hand will get wet, right? If you jump off a four-story building, what's going to happen every time? Which direction are you going to go? Are you sure? Are you sure? Will it happen every time or 9 times out of 10 times? Every time you jump off a four-story building, you're going to go down. Now, a tree might break your fall. You might fall into a fireman's, whatever they call it, trampoline, catcher thing. And you might just miraculously land on grass and not get hurt at all. We don't know the severity of your injuries. What we know for sure is you're going to fall down. And it'll happen every single time. Just as we can understand certain laws of nature, of the natural world, you put your hand in a fire, hold it there, it will burn. You stick your hand in water, it will get wet. You fall off a four-story building, you're going to go down. We can know for certain that every promise God makes, God will keep. Every single promise that God makes, God will keep. And I'd like to talk with you this evening just a little bit about the promises of God. God makes promises to us that He always keeps. No matter what our circumstances, no matter how crazy or chaotic the world is or becomes, God will do what He promised no matter what the world is like. And this alone is the secret to our confidence and our strength and the encouragement of our life. To the degree that you believe in the promises of God, you will experience in your life in corresponding measure life confidence, life strength, and life encouragement. I was reading today, as I normally do periodically through the day, I try to keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world. And of course, as always, there's lots of all kinds of crazy stuff. Today, the banks in Canada announced that they believe the price of oil by 2010 will be $225 a barrel. So you're paying $3.39 a gallon. Tonight, the gas station I passed here, it will be $6.80 a gallon by the year 2012. That's what they're saying. We don't know for sure if that will happen or not. There's a rice shortage in the world. There's a food problem in the world. There's a food problem for a couple of reasons. As the economy of India and China, the two largest nations in the world, 1 billion each, as the middle class has grown in China and in India, so has their dietary interest. They're eating a lot more beef, a lot more meat, which demands more corn. The problem is one-third of the world's corn, particularly the U.S. corn, is going for ethanol. And so there's a massive food shortage. We're headed into what looks like, if we're not already there, a recession. And when you and I look out in the world that we live in, whether it's the global world or whether it's our own personal world, all around us, it can just shake the bejeebers out of you. It can frighten you. It can alarm you. It can internally just discombobulate your soul and your spirit and your life. And you can just be filled with worry. And we can think to ourselves, you know, God, right now, we got some college students here. You might be in your third year of college, your fourth year of college, and you're thinking, wow, the economy's getting so bad, how will I ever find a job? You might look at your job presently. You may have a job, and things aren't looking too good on the horizon. Maybe there's some cutbacks. Maybe there's some layoffs. And you're wondering, wow, God, what's going to happen to me? No matter who we are tonight in this auditorium, every single one of us is facing or will face in the near future and frankly for the rest of your life, you're going to face all kinds of uncertainties and unknowns and obstacles and difficulties and hardships both within and without in your own life. The only way you're going to make it is to learn and discover what it means to trust in the promises of God. And to understand that God is not subject to the laws of this world. God's promises are not subject to the laws of our economy. He's outside the realm of time. He's outside the natural realm. And God goes into supernatural operation for the man or woman who will trust Him for His promises. I'd just like to read a number of passages here real quickly to you. Joshua 21:45. Not a single one of the good promises the Lord has given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything He had spoken came true. Beginning of Joshua. God has just led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God has done supernatural, extraordinary things after 400 years of being enslaved and brutalized and tormented by the Egyptians. Finally, the Israelites have cried out to God, God save us, God save us, God save us, and God raises up Moses through a set of supernatural circumstances. God allows. It wasn't because God was being mean. God is never mean. He's never mean. He's never mean to you. He's never been mean to me. Even though at times it feels like it, even though at times the devil lies to us about the nature of God, God is not mean. But what did God do? God forced Moses' mother to give him up when he was about 3 to 6 months old. And she put him in a little basket. She courageously rebelled against the Egyptians. And she didn't kill her own son. She hid him. Pharaoh's daughter. Wow, how did that happen? Pharaoh's daughter finds this little Hebrew baby. Why would Pharaoh's daughter care about a Hebrew baby? Her own father did not. He commanded them all to be dead. And she takes the little baby. Moses' sister is positioned at just the right place and says, when she overhears Pharaoh's daughter say, "I need to find someone to nurse the baby," Miriam says, "Oh, I will find someone," and she finds Moses' real mother. And his mother gets a little extra time with her baby and gets to see that her baby is going to be raised in the king's palace. I won't go through all the supernatural events of Moses' life, but Moses' mother and father trusted in the promises of God. And Moses grew up to be the unlikely deliverer of Egypt. Now they've been out in the wilderness 40 years. They've seen all of these miracles, all of God's faithfulness to provide for them every day, day after day after day after day after day for 40 years. They had no supplies, no refrigeration. God rains down birds from the sky right into their camp. They eat quail. God rains down manna every day. They pick up just what they need. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. God made them last extra long because God is outside time and nature. The end of that 40 years, just before Moses died, God directed him to tell Joshua, "Now Joshua will lead you into the land that I promised you." And there's giants in the land. There's all of these pagan, wretched kings that God says, "I want you to get rid of." These people have been slaves. They weren't a warring nation. They weren't warriors. They didn't have all these great weapons. They'd just been wandering in the desert for 40 years. All that was they were responsible was to obey God. And for all the rest of Joshua's life, one kingdom after another, God supernaturally destroyed and gave the Jews their land. And God took care of him. And Joshua was saying just before he died, "You know, you are witnesses that throughout my life, not one promise God gave to us did he ever break. He kept them all." 2 Samuel 22:31, "God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection." 1 Kings 8:56, "Praise the Lord who's given rest to his people. Just as he promised, not one word has failed of all the wonderful promises he gave through his servant Moses." Psalm 13:30, "God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true." Psalm 71:22, "Then I will praise you with music on my harp because you are faithful to your promises. O God, I will sing praises to you." Psalm 91:4, "He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection." Psalm 106:12, "Then his people believed his promises. They sinned. Then they sang his praise." You see, you can never sing the praises of God from your heart till you first believe his promises. All that will be for you and I is despair if we do not believe that God will keep his promises. David said in Psalm 27, "I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living." In other words, I would see God's promise to do me good come true. Therefore, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalm 119, 140. "Your promises have been thoroughly tested. That's why I love them so much." God's promises aren't like the bridge on 35. No matter how many inspections you have, they missed it. The metal wasn't ready, the rivets weren't ready, and they broke. God's promises have been thoroughly tested generation after generation, person after person, in the lion's den, in the flood, in Egypt. And they never fail. No matter how much stress, no matter how much strain, no matter how much people doubt them, God always keeps His word. Psalm 145:13, for your kingdom is an everlasting one. You rule through all generations. The Lord will always keep His promises. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, for your promises are backed by the honor of your name. You see, God cannot be anything else but God. God is good. There is no way God cannot be good. It's impossible for God to be evil. It's impossible for God to lie. Some says there's some things God can do. God cannot be evil. God cannot be bad. God cannot be foolish. God cannot be unwise. God cannot be unfair. God cannot be unjust. He simply cannot be. It is not in His nature. It's not there. It's void of all evil. And so all the promises of God are backed by the honorableness of the name of God. Romans 4:22 says Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever He promised. Romans 15:4. Such things were written in the Scripture long ago. He's talking now about the Old Testament, which I just read verses from. They were written long ago to teach us, and the Scripture gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. And that's the rub, isn't it? That's the difficult part. That's the difficult. It's the waiting. It's the waiting. It's the waiting. It's the waiting. See, God will always keep His promises, but His timing does not always coordinate with ours. But God always keeps His promises. God always does what He says. I know tonight, as I stand here tonight, that God is working everything for good as it relates to my daughter's health, as it relates to our family. I'd be the first one to say, it's been unbelievably emotionally challenging, wearisome. I can't even count the times I have gone to God, crying out to God in tears for help, and I always come back to the promises of God. If I didn't come back to the promises of God, I don't care what else would happen, I'd be broken down. I'd be completely empty of strength. I could smile. There would be no joy in my life whatsoever. There would be no encouragement. I go back to the promises of God. Let me read some of them. I have a book. I would like to encourage all of you to begin this habit. If you haven't already done it, start it, never end it. There's a variety of ways that you can do it. But start writing a book of personal promises that God gives to you from the Word of God. Date them. Write them down. Some of you that are more linear than I am could put them in categories. Categorize them. Promises for money. Promises for my future. Promises for spouse. Promises for child rearing. Promises. So that you can go back to them in times when the devil comes, the flesh comes, when your circumstances look bad. Let me tell you something. Most of your life, as God is my witness, your circumstances are not going to be what you wish they were. The vast majority of your life, from this point on, your circumstances are not going to be what you wished they were. Ever. And if you're waiting around for your circumstances to magically become what you always dreamed, you're going to walk away from the Lord. There's only one time, now listen very carefully to this, there's only one time and one place when that will be your permanent existence, and that place is called heaven. And in heaven, you'll have a new body, never get sick, never gets broken down, never gets tempted, never cries, never weeps, there's no sorrow. And you're going to have all that you ever wanted to eat, and you're going to be surrounded by all the people that you love, and you're going to be surrounded by beauty all the time, and you're not going to have to work. And you're never going to get bored. And there won't be any obstacles or any trials to overcome ever again for forever and forever and forever and forever. But in this life, the only thing that's going to keep you going is learning to live by your faith and confidence and trust in the promises of God. And little by little, you will see them come true. God will bring about as you trust Him. Lamentations 3. Yet I still dare, I'm just going to read you some of the promises that have sustained me. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. When I reflect on this, the unfailing love of the Lord never ends. By His mercies we have been kept from complete destruction. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin fresh every day. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. See, not Warren Buffett's money, but the Lord is my inheritance. He's what makes me rich. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for Him. So it is good to wait quietly for the salvation from the Lord. It is good for the young to submit to the yoke of His discipline. I was sharing last night with a bunch of young men and women about the love of God. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Not trouble, not calamity, not hardship, not difficulties, not demons, not angels, not things to come, not the future, not things in the past, not things now. Nothing can keep the active, provisional, caring, passionate love of God from you and I. Nothing and nobody. And in spite, Paul writes, of all the difficulties we go through, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Paul writes, for I am convinced. He's convinced of it. That's what promises do. They convince you. And you live with a deep conviction. We are going to make it. We are going to be all right. Even if this trial doesn't change for years, God promises to work it for good. So by faith, I know He's working it for good. He's given us rewards. He's building us. He's using us as a light to other people. He's building our character, and He's going to come through. And He's going to reward us for this. Whatever it is. The Bible says, this I know, that God is for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? No one. No one. Or no thing. It may feel like it, it may look like it, but the devil's lying to you. Isaiah 30, 18. But the Lord still waits for you to come to Him so He can show you His love and compassion. For the Lord is faithful. Blessed are those who wait for Him to help them. I can't tell you what an experience it has been, though I wouldn't lie to you. It's been incredibly challenging, but what an experience it's been over these 4 years and over the 33 years as I look back of following the Lord, of time after time having to wait on God to come through for us, wait on God to help us, to wait on God. And I have seen God do things just time and time and time and time and time again, providing things that I didn't know how He was going to provide, providing things I didn't deserve, whether it's finances or care or cars or homes, whatever the case might be, over and over and over and over and over and over again. Blessed, the word means extremely fortunate, are those who learn to wait for the promises of God to come true. So many men and women I've seen over the years run ahead of God. They don't wait on God, and they missed out on what they could have experienced. Psalm 31, your goodness is so great, You have stored up great blessings for those who honor you. You've done so much for those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. You hide them in the shelter of your presence, safe from those who conspire against them. You shelter them in the presence, in your presence, far from accusing tongues. I want to go into that tonight, but I'm not going to go into it a lot. But I've had so much flack over 33 years of following Christ. I have had so many negative, awful, awful things said about me. There were times that I did not think I could get up off the floor. And I would go to this verse and think about, God, you know every single one. You've allowed every single one. And you will shelter me in your presence far from this slander. And give me strength to get up and keep walking and trusting you. God keeps His word. God keeps His word. Psalm 23. Let the whole world bless our God and sing aloud His praises. Our lives are in His hands, and He keeps our feet from stumbling. My times are in the hands of God. Your times are in the hands of God. God promises, Psalm 139, that He's before us, He's behind us, and we know, of course, from the New Testament that He lives inside of us. And everything, as one person has put it, and everything that comes to our life has been Father-filtered through the love and wisdom and care and justice and fairness and compassion of God. Everything. God keeps His word. We live in a world where people will stand in front of hundreds of people and commit themselves to another person and say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. I mean, there's really nothing more sacred. Many of us have witnessed it, only to see that person, as the years went by, lie and break their promise. Listen, God does not break His promise. As absolutely certain as fire will burn your skin and water will make your hand wet and jumping off a four-story building will make you fall down, God will absolutely keep His words. You will see them come true. And as you learn to trust them, as you learn to put your eyes on them, you will find strength, you will find hope, you will find encouragement. And you will discover the secret to living a confident life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I really appreciate you taking the time and a moment tonight praying for my daughter. I'd like to invite you downstairs. We have a special art fair tonight, a little mini concert down there. We've got a lot of refreshments. We'd love to have you. And also, if I could just ask, as many of you guys that would be willing to help tear down the night, that would really help these guys be able to get downstairs and enjoy the evening themselves as quickly as possible. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank You tonight. I want to thank You tonight for Your love and Your kindness and Your faithfulness. Lord, I don't know what tomorrow holds of my daughter. I don't know what Sunday holds for my daughter. Lord, this has been the most unbelievable, gut-wrenching journey that I have been on. And the saints here, they only know a piece of the story. They don't know all the other complexities of the trials that have transpired during the same 4 years or what's gone on the last 10 years. But You know, for every single one of us here tonight, you know every single issue, every single struggle. And I just thank You, God, that all of it is right there in the palm of Your hand. None of it is out of control. Father, thank You. You walk through us. Even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, You're there with us. You walk beside us. You walk inside of us. And You are divinely orchestrating circumstances ahead of us. I trust You, Lord. I tell you what, there is absolutely no way to face the uncertainty, the insanity, the chaos, the sheer stupidity of our governments as we look out for tomorrow, if there is not a God, then this is the greatest cosmic, stupid, horrendous, horrific joke ever foisted on mankind. I praise you, O God, that you are in control, that you are God of heaven and of earth. You are Lord of heaven and of earth. And my life and our lives are under your total, sovereign, divine control. Now you help us, Lord, to believe that you'll keep your word. We're going to lose a lot of sleep. We're going to sweat a lot of sweat, cry a lot of tears, and be emotionally a basket case if we don't come to understand God cannot lie and every promise you ever made will come true. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.